Good morning, friends. Today, on this beautiful day, we have our guest is Pat Finley, who is the clerk of Eco Justice Collaborative of PYM. Pat has been a professor of behavioral sciences and statistics and has taught at universities in Beirut and in a number of universities here in the Philadelphia area. So I would like to introduce you to Pat Finley.
Hi, Bert.
Hi, Pat.
So I guess I'm here to talk about my history with climate work.
Yes.
So I guess it started early when I was a child. I was a peace and justice advocate, and people called me Crusader Rabbit. And I'm not sure everyone was very complimentary. That was not meant to be completely complimentary. So, as I got into my 20s and 30s, I was reading Paul Ehrlich and Rachel Carson, and the Vietnam War was going on. So I was reading Johnny Get Your Gun and all of the peace books that you could find. I started watching how peace movements and peace marches and sit-ins, how they worked, and I was starting to feel really discouraged. This is back in the 60s and 70s. I was getting discouraged because they seemed so fragmented. They didn't seem to move anything really forward. I'm not even sure that they had an effect on the Vietnam War. They may have put pressure on the policymakers, but I'm not sure that they made a difference. And I watched people protesting at the School of Americas, and that I think that was extremely important, but people would come from all over. They would protest there and then they'd go home and nothing would change. It still exists
That
under a
was a
different
piece
name.
of that was when it was in Panama or in California.
It was in some southern state. I
Okay.
don't remember which one.
North Carolina, I think.
No, I wasn't. I didn't travel to protest. No, I didn't have that kind of those kinds of resources. But anyway, those are things I've been thinking about for most of my life, and now I've become a Quaker. I became a Quaker about 35 years ago, and I have different attitudes about it. So when Radnor Meeting came up with Emerge, I was really struck by how important that was for building community and bringing people together under some rather mature emotional ideas like empathy and mindfulness and ecological integrity, but just plain integrity is really important. And so,
I can just mention here at this point, when we started the Climate Action Committee, and before that, the Carbon Net Neutrality Committee at Radnor, we were extremely enthusiastic about what we could accomplish there and realized that as we were going forward, it wasn't vocal, but it was just some kind of resistance to what we might be trying to do to first lower our carbon footprint to net neutrality, carbon net neutrality at the meeting house, and then extend it out into the homes of the members of the meeting. And looking at that resistance, we decided we needed to take a step back and look at fundamental values that bring us to be active to address climate and the global warming that we are all embroiled in, and to clarify for ourselves and for others why we do have this interest. And thank you.
Yeah, I think it's critical. People have talked about emotional intelligence, and we need that kind of perspective. Emerge is a way of getting at a kind of emotional intelligence in which we can start addressing some of the things we're doing. I've been particularly interested in ecological integrity and the idea of integrity, being honest, being responsible, but it's also about wholeness. And when I was thinking about the fragmentation of the protests in the 60s and 70s, I was thinking that we needed a kind of wholeness. We need to see the whole picture, not just the School of the Americas, not just the Vietnam War, but prisons. We can't be running from one to the other. We need to see it as a whole picture. And most of that is in politics. We have to be involved with politics. We need to have decent legislators, and we need to have a decent president, as we are so clearly see now. I was thinking about it, and lately, I watched, by the way, I watched Liz Robinson's interview, and she told me about a story about her daughter, who she's in Minneapolis, and she and her friends raised a huge amount of money to help the immigrants bring to pay for rent, to pay for food. And then she was thinking, but what about next month? So what I've been thinking is Timothy Snyder talks about protecting our institutions. We need institutions, and we need people like her daughter covering the emergencies. So this is where integrity comes in. We need to think about it as a whole problem. We need the system, we need the institutions, and we need the communities, and we need the individuals who recognize their responsibility. So all the derivatives of that word integrity, integral, these things are part of a whole, and integration, we need to be find ways of being with each other.
Very
Things
important.
that stop the separations. I recently had I stay on Facebook because I put a lot of eco justice stuff out there and a lot of political stuff. And I have a cousin in California who's very conservative. I love him. I've known him since he was a baby. And he's been trolling me about these things, telling me that I'm a useful idiot and I'm a sheep. And so finally, I don't know how to interact with him anymore. And I ultimately had to block him because he was interfering a great deal with what I was doing. So I want to get back and be friends with him again, but right now I just feel like I'm already dealing with so much discouragement that I'm not sure I can accept having a relative who is attacking me. At the same time, telling me, reminding me about how we went to Simon and Garfunkel concerts when we were in the 70s.
Yeah, and probably to say in the context that didn't matter, that what matters now is that the gulf between us, and I think that is one of the large challenges of Quakerism, is how to have a peaceful and loving relationship with those who disagree on issues, and especially large issues and important issues, and for those that say are challenging, as is it a cousin, has been challenging to you, and how to you to maintain a spirit of love, or at the same time knowing that although these challenges aren't violent, they are seeking to undermine your position and to diminish your impact.
Plus, he would put comments, rather offensive comments, in on my posts, and then friends of mine would respond to him, and he would respond to them, and it would become really hostile after a while. So I had to stop that for at least a little while.
Yeah, disengagement is a time-honored tradition. It's at its extreme, it is shunning those who refuse to relate in a respectful manner. And so there is a good long history of to cut ties, to diminish ties, to reduce the ties for those that seek to hurt.
Yeah, I'm finding that between conservative and liberal, if you want to divide us up that way, we have a different conception of what is the common good. And right now, in this very narrow period of history, we're actually dividing about whether the common good is good at all, whether empathy is good, whether being concerned about other races is good. So that divide is difficult to cross. But the thing is that we have this, the liberals tend to think in terms of global systems and institutions. And the conservatives say, no, we shouldn't do that. We should take care of ourselves. And there's a story about Davy Crockett. He was in, I think he was in the House of Representatives. And somebody came and asked the Congress to give $100 to this widow from the Civil War. And he got up and made a speech about how the government shouldn't be taking care of individuals, that instead, each of us should contribute $5 and as individuals, as charity, and give it to the widow. And that's fine. We should be doing that. We should be contributing to that widow. But she isn't the only widow. There's a lot of widows out there that need that $100, and you're not going to be able to get it by contributing $5 here and there. We have to do the $5, but we also have to do the institutional approach as well.
I agree. And it's not only that a sum of $5 from everybody is still inadequate to meet the needs of those who are in need or in desperate need, but sometimes they are in this need because of the systems that we have here and private industry that has made it difficult for them to earn a living that could support their families. And that basically we have a the march of let's call it efficiency that says we want to produce the most that we can with the fewest people involved in it that we can. And we're kind of at a crunch right now of that, but it is a problem that's been growing and is only becoming more and more worse as technology and computers and AI has become more involved. But look, it was way back. How long ago was that? Was that nearly 200 years ago that Davy Crockett was bringing it up as a concern about how we are going to do this?
Well, it's not only that we try to get the most out of everybody, but we try to get the most out of everybody for the least pay.
Yes.
And we have a system now where we cannot support ourselves adequately. We don't have the housing. We don't have enough salary to live a life without debt. Some of us do, but there's a
Well,
large,
some, yes.
we are living on a system of debt rather than a rational monetary system. Anyway, I've been hearing lately, I can hardly believe people are saying that's the still that politics is dirty and I don't want to have anything to do with it. And it bothers me that people are saying that, because when you don't get involved with politics, You're sort of voting for the status quo. And it's like neutrality in the face of injustice is choosing the side of the oppressor.
Yeah, I agree. And just to take it back just a moment to where we were talking about the issues of not having enough in this society, at the top end of that spectrum, there is a certain amount of it's a big amount of greed that goes on with resource extraction, and that those resources are kind of go into the mix. Again, also at the whatever the lowest cost is, and that for that resource extraction, especially if it is from countries that do not have even as much government oversight as we do here, and that government oversight is being cut back and cut back and cut back to reduce the true value of extractions, where open pit mining is out there, and it really flies in the face of ecological integrity as it's bringing resources into the pr production model at the least cost and returning as few reparations to the earth, if I can phrase it that way, as it needs for the earth and for the inhabitants of the area from which the resources were extracted.
One of the things I've been trying, one of my projects that I've not been terribly successful with is trying to introduce friendly households to small groups like meetings or churches. And people think it's a great idea, but it's really hard to get it started. It's like I organized it once at Old Haverford, and it was really successful. We did a lot of good things. People made commitments that went beyond what they did before, and we tried in a lot of ways to work together, and we became a really strong, cohesive community as a result. I had to put it down for a while. And I'm trying to get it up again at Old Haverford. Everybody in the meeting is extremely busy and very involved and very active. So I'm trying to figure out how to fit this in. And I think it's really important to fit it in because it's getting us to work together and to work together in at different levels, like you begin with preparing yourself, preparing yourself spiritually, getting to know how to address the earth with reverence. How do you address each other with reverence? How do you become educated and what's real? The next level is working with your community, finding ways to help each other and allowing yourself to be helped. And then finally, working at the public domain level. And that's the political level, the lobby level, the policy level. These are at the systems level. We have to take care of the systems, but we have to do parallel work in our own communities, in our own homes. If we don't, the first thing we have to do is to find ways to be together. And be cohesive, be coherent, be active.
That is very important to stop and build community and take that community out into the world, or where you have a sense of unity on an issue that you wish to bring out into the world. And that's one of the things that the Quemar organization is doing, is building community and then addressing it, taking it to our local communities and to, in this case, where we are both Pennsylvania residents, to the legislature in Harrisburg, and doing the same also in Trenton for New Jersey and the capital of Delaware, which is eluding me right now, and Annapolis, because this is ecological integrity is not just a personal issue. One of the things that we often, as your cousin might want to put, is that this is, we can only do so much in our own individual lives. And we have to find the community that will speak for all of us. We can avoid the plastic. We can avoid burning gas or oil to heat our buildings. However, there are so many other things that that it is enabled to do through tax structures that benefits that go, say, to the gas industry, the natural gas industry, that is makes it more and more difficult for the renewable energies to find their true economic value.
Yeah, we need to move beyond an exploitative kind of culture. As recently, I retired from Temple in 2015, and as recent as that, people were calling me an alarmist. And I kept saying, well, yeah, I am an alarmist because it's alarming out there. And, I recently read a book by Brian McLaren. It's called, what is it? Life After Doom. And
Life after June?
Doom.
Boom.
Doom. Life After Doom is called The Wisdom and Courage for a World Falling Apart. And it's he's he works with the He's a religious figure. He's very wise, and he works with the Center for Action and Contemplation. And so he proposes that there will be four scenarios, and the one is that collapse avoidance, that we will avoid collapse. The world will continue to deteriorate because we've already set it in motion. We've had tipping points, but we will develop the energy and understand the urgency and actually act on what's happening. The second scenario is that we won't. We will have civilization collapse, but from the wreckage, small communities might continue to endure. The third one is collapse and minimal survival. And the fourth one is that it's not only collapse and extinction, but the damage will continue to the point where the biosphere will be destroyed, because it's not as if we can stop climate change. It will continue because we've already set in motion these things. He actually recommends that we stop at three and just voluntarily stop the damage by allowing ourselves to go extinct, at
Oh.
least save the earth. And he says that we're on the first scenario is gone. We don't have that option anymore. The second scenario is, if we really work hard, we might be able to achieve some stability. But once we get into too far into the second one, the civilizational collapse will involve wars and destruction beyond what we can handle.
Oh, I remember Kenneth Boulding, a Quaker economist, who was talking about how we had basically have spaceship Earth. And that is our new economic model that we had been taken forward to this place by a cowboy economy approach to it, that there's a horizon out there. And our waste can go over the horizon, and we will find new resources out there to basically accommodate our needs for more resource. And I recently heard more about what to me is a new term, and that is the lifeboat economy, that many people who are very well off are looking how they can save themselves, while at the same time, they're not acknowledging that we are faced globally with a catastrophe that's heading our way through climate change. And they are maintaining the rugged individualist ethos of what can I do to help myself? How can I get through this? Can I build a big enough wall around my house? Put a big gate at there? Can I put aside enough food to carry me through the times where there will be disruptions? Not thinking that the long term, everything is changed. So I think that there is, unfortunately, too much lifeboat economy thinking, like, how can I save myself rather than realizing that we are part of a community. All humans are in a community.
There's a book, it was recommended by Ed Drebe, who's, he was the person who started the environmental movement within Philadelphia Yearly Meeting. And the book is Lugano Report. And I can't remember off the top of my head the author, but in it, it posited the possibility that the 1% actually knows very well what's happening, and they recognize that there will be a great deal of collapse and deaths. There will be a huge decrease in population, and they actually think of that as a good thing. They don't actually see how apocalyptic that is, but they feel that they have the resources to create a world to themselves, like the lifeboat. And it's a very discouraging book to read, but and it's not true, but it's is maybe prophetic.
We're all embroiled with that, and basically realizing that we are driving ourselves towards it. And it's fun or easy to say that the creators of these issues are out there without acknowledging our complicity. I mean, I remember back in the late 60s reading a book, The Population Bomb, and looking at where our exponential growth of just our human population is going and its impact. And we are all part of that. And on one hand, there's a feeling of guilt. However, on the other hand, it's empowering in the sense that if we are the ones who are doing that, we are the ones who can change it.
Yeah, I listened to Lee Hall, a member of your meeting, who was responsible, one of the re people responsible for Emerge. And she recognizes her culpability every time she does anything. And I do too. Every time I go to turn up the heat, this is really cold winter. I was really cold. I just put as many clothes as I could to stay warm. I just have to recognize that every time I use fossil fuels, and that's what I have, it's fossil fuel, a gas heater. So she has done the same with cars. I have an EV, but I still electricity comes from fossil fuels too right now. And we need to get more renewables. And at the moment, we have an obstacle, a huge obstacle in our president.
Yes, I mean, Lee Hall is a firm advocate for public transportation. They had an automobile that they gave to a immigrant who was struggling to get by and find their place here in America, and just gifted her car, and now is a very strong advocate for public transportation. And this is what we can do. Basically, advocate for those public systems that can relieve the worst aspects of what causes us to dig deeper, a deeper hole for ourselves in this problem.
You guys have done great work. I've heard from a few people saying, why do we need more testimonies? And it's kind of curmudgeonly kind of approach to it. And there's, but once you get into it and you look at it in terms of a spiritual practice, it's significant. We need to have this. We need to have this because it's as the Hall quotes Gus Bathe a lot, and so do I, about we need a cultural and spiritual solution to all of this. It's science is what got us into it, and now we need to find the spiritual understanding and urgency to solve the problem.
I totally agree that we need the spirit-led movement in this case, and that is one of the things that we are hoping that Emerge will do on not just checking the boxes, but finding that place within us in which these different values resonate. And it's more than that. I mean, for instance, the R in Emerge, we designated as being right actions. And to be sure that is true, but it's also could stand for resilience, if that is, if it's a value that is also important to addressing climate change.
Now, I lost track of what I was gonna just about to say.
Oops.
Oh, compassion. One of the values is empathy, which includes compassion, I believe. But the Buddhists have this idea of not just compassion. It's compassion. You have compassion for your family, your friends. But there's another form of compassion is having compassion for a wider area, the world, a more global compassion. And that compassion takes different forms. One of them is a kind of intelligent compassion where you recognize the justice that needs to be addressed when there's a problem. And then there's the interpersonal compassion that you pay attention to the immediate needs of somebody. But the justice part of compassion is the institutional part where you create institutions that help each other at the same time you keep that interpersonal compassion going.
It is a fabric that knits together, that knits us all together, our sense of compassion.
I feel like I've ranged over so many topics here.
Think you were looking at the integrity of as a basis for how, especially ecological integrity, of how we are moved to take action in positive action in the face of climate change, and then taking action to dial back those aspects of our lives that we are engendering climate change.
Ultimately, when you look at them all, it's all about building wisdom or learning to be wise. They are all integral to each other, like the testimonies. Peace can't be had without simplicity and justice and equality. All of those things have to go together.
I agree, and one leads to another. They are knit together. They are not just connected by tunnels, but they are connected by many different vectors that will bring one to the other and to another, and they live together and they thrive together. And to remove one of them is like Jenga, trying to remove a block to say that might. A voice that may whisper that you don't need to live with integrity, and then it all starts to collapse down there if you try and pull the pieces out and say that peace is not necessary. It is. So
I've heard of Jenga, but I don't know what it is.
it's a game with wooden made of wooden blocks of different shapes and sizes and all of that, and you start the game with a big pile of these blocks, and you put together and you build a tower out of that. And then the game is between different players that you find a way of removing a block from this tower without causing it to collapse.
Finding out what's critical.
Yes. What is critical? And basically, after a number of them have been removed, someone will remove a block that causes it all to fall down, and they are the loser. And in this case, ecological Jenga, we're all the loser.
Yeah, I kind of think like emerge is a critical element of that structure. But two values that I would like to add is reverence and generosity. They're both forms of love. And that's where we have to go.
I totally agree. I mean, basically, love is the platform that it's all built on. It is, and you have to keep that platform clear. That is a solid, fundamental platform that is withstands earthquakes, or to provide for that. Because if that's what our selves, each of our selves and our lives are built on, and that's what our society, in its best sense, is built on. And I believe that our American society is built on a double foundation of love that is about democracy and is about all of us helping each other in that way. And the other is on property and competition and ownership and basically defending all of that to the exclusion of love. It makes for a dynamic society, as we know that we have been for the 250 years or however long we've been a culture, I mean, a democracy, a country. And before that, it was similar that went up to it, and it was kind of put on the books. It was saying that these are the laws that we will agree to live by, and it has been cause for a lot of dynamism.
Dynamism. Okay.
Yes.
So I was having trouble hearing you. Anyway, one of my an important factor for me in my life is my friends, and I want to say that you are one of my friends, and I'm very happy that you're in that circle.
And I am happy to be in your circle of friends, and you are in mine. So we have an interlocking friendship.
Good.
And I want to thank you for being here with us to discuss these issues that are fundamental and so fundamental that we don't often just talk about them, chat about them, but they
Yeah.
are fundamental to how we live and how we approach our lives and how we're basically moved to activism to protect these. And I was wondering if there's anything else that you'd like to say.
No, I think I probably think of something in about half an hour, but
Okay.
I'm good.
We'll save that for another podcast.
There's always something more.
And
Always.
we're so happy that you were able to be here with us today, and we're grateful. Thank you,
Thank you for
Pat.
inviting me. I
Well,
appreciate it.
thank you.